iPhone, why is your default setting to record using the speakerphone when you turn on the Bluetooth to connect the lapel mic to do shit? I don't know, but it's a pain in the ass. So I apologize for the episodes earlier this week that sound like utter shit. It can't really be helped. So, well, it could have been helped if I would have paid attention to what I was doing instead of being a jackass. So hopefully those episodes come out and sound usable. I'm getting eaten alive by insects. I'm closing the garage. I'm outside, once again, working on the Sierra. Not really working on it so much as just chit-chatting with y'all while I stick around. So there is, you know, I recently went on a trip with my daughter to Chicago, the funnest place on planet Earth. Maybe not really, but, you know, close enough for me. I'm originally from a small town, I say small in quotes, outside of Chicago called Naperville. It's a bit of a bougie area from what I am told now. So that kind of sucks. It wasn't bougie when I moved in. It was just kind of a nice small town with nice small town people. And it kind of turned into what it did when I, you know, was living there. So I remember there being corn and crops in town when I was really little. And then it kind of grew up, you know, along with me, which was nice. So I kind of got to experience, you know, what it is that I like about the town and what, you know, town is about, and then kind of what the, losing my train of thought. You know, what part, like in that progression from small town to big town, I kind of liked and kind of fostered my choices later in life, you know, what is best, small town or big town? I like big towns. I really do. I like big cities. They're not ideal for a car enthusiast, obviously, but, you know, I like them. How the hell does this go together? So I'm kind of dicking around with the Fiero project right now. And I'm trying to figure out how this hood latch goes back on. So I took her back, meet some family, meet friends. The missus was occupied by doing her clinical stuff, which was really unfortunate. Two up here, so that's how that works. So she was unable to join me, which sucks, but, you know, it was fun to have just the little one and myself on a road trip just to kind of see how that worked. A lot of daddy-daughter time, a lot of, you know, being asked, well, where's your wife? Where's your wife? Where's your wife? Like, well, she's obviously not here, so I hope you're asking because you're expecting a good answer, not a terrible answer. You know, funny to mess with people. But it's one of those things where you don't really know what to expect doing something like that until you do it. So, you know, she's 3 years old. She's never been away from her mom for that long. She's never been with me alone for that long. You know, it's not like her mom ever took a trip anywhere that she didn't bring a little one with. So it was quite the experiment in, like, how does this all work? And, you know, that's where that goes. So there's like a little emergency latch right there. So it was, you know, interesting to do. So, and, you know, I'm a big believer of you never truly know someone until you road trip with them. These. Oh, these are the bolts for up front that I needed. How is all this still coming from? You're still getting a lot of, like, leaking from somewhere. I don't know what it is inside this car. So that's the hood hinge bolts. That's for the front thing. So we can put those in, which would be nice. I don't have any bolts for that, though, which is not good, which I know you all can't see, which is making some compelling talking points right now. Let's try this and see if this works. Just sitting in here like this. Yep, it works. All right. So part of the – so, yeah, so – going around with her, you know, leaving on a 10-hour road trip with a 3-year-old, you know, she is an exceptional road trip companion. So she has some speech development issues. So she's not really a super chatty little girl, which is a little sad for me because I don't know if you can tell, but I can spin a yarn for a while. I don't know which one of these is the newer one, but we'll go with the one that was in the cabin. So, you know, it's fun, though, to be able to sit there, chit-chat with her, you know, sing along songs. She's big into this, they're called the Beat Bugs, and they're, they sing Beatles songs. So, you know, her favorite one is Help and Yellow Submarine, which are two good songs, I would say. I very much like them. Actually, I think my favorite Beatles song is Rain, which I will not regale you with right now because I like having listeners. So it's a matter of... you know, sitting there, singing along, playing along. She's very good about paying attention when you're talking. She did a good job of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just being content to be in the car. So she would... you know, she get antsy after a while. You pull over, side of the road, or not side of the road, obviously, but you know, go to a rest stop. You sit there for a little bit and you relax, and you know, get a sandwich or get sorry, must be doing two things at once, and I can't do one thing at once. Go to a rest stop. She just kind of sits there. She'll, like, probably when she's terrified of public bathrooms, which is not great. But then again, who of us isn't? You know, she'd come along and, you know, like little family bathrooms. And by the end of the trip, she was doing good with them. She wasn't freaking out too much about them. And she would, you know, stretch her legs. She wouldn't fuss about getting back into the vehicle, which I've read a lot of toddlers will give you, you know, guff for being pulled in and out of cars. You know, it's hard to be a tiny person and have no agency in what exactly is going on around you. But she, little trooper, she did just fine. I will highly recommend if you have a tiny person and you need to take them on a long road trip, about hour number 7, she started getting a little antsy. So here's a Amazon tablet and have at it. So they sell a Amazon tablet that has like children's games and all this sort of stuff preloaded onto it, which is a great, great distractor. But before that, you know, singing along to Beatles songs or listening to a podcast or two, and she'll just sit there and she'll just absorb, and it was fun. You know, it's definitely different when you kind of have to anticipate. You know, one of my great struggles is trying to just kind of figure out what she needs and how to get her, you know, that. Because when you have speech difficulties and you're three and you're a toddler and you're trying to be, you know, vocal and you're trying to make your wants and needs known, but you really can't communicate them the way you wish you could communicate them. It's hard. And you know, it's hard on the parents too, because, you know, we want to make sure she gets what she needs and that she's, you know, well fed and comfortable and having fun. Because what a lot of people don't get about, you know, special needs kids, which she is technically, which I hate that phrase, because I was called that when I was little, and that was not fun. But it is what she is, and it's something that, you know, got to get used to saying until she grows out of it, hopefully, you know, if she's getting therapy and all that, which this is not going quite the direction I thought this conversation would go, but, yeah, it's just, you kind of just have to deal with it as it kind of comes along, and you got to, you know, figure it out, and she's getting a lot better when it comes to, you know, I want X, Y, or Z, or I don't want X, Y, or Z, because I'm a toddler, and I'm fussy, and I've been in the car for a long ass time, or I'm fussy because I'm just being fussy, because that's what toddlers do. And, you know, it's difficult. But I would say she was probably on the best behavior she's been on in a long time doing it, because she is, when it comes to being out and about, she likes to be out and about. She likes to be engaged in activities. She likes to explore new stuff. You know, again, a lot of things, a lot of people want to take her and put her in a glass case and, you know, say don't break, you know, glass unless there's a fire or whatnot. And that's not what she wants. She wants to be treated just like a normal human being. And that's what Daddy does. So that being said, she, you know, so that's kind of the baseline we're dealing with here. So to give you an idea. So when it comes to, you know, stopping at a rest stop, you know, are you hungry? Are you, do you want something to eat? You know, these questions she really doesn't have the capability to answer fully yet. So, you know, but she likes to explore, so she'll, at a rest stop, she'll get down, she'll run around, and if she doesn't like something, she'll let you know, and if she likes something, she'll make sure you know. So, she was a little trooper about it. She liked getting out at the rest stop. She liked running around the, so the turnpike in Ohio has all these stops, you know, for, like every like 30 or 40 miles, you know, a typical stop. But I guess if you're from out west, the reason I'm explaining this, if you're from like out in, I don't know, Idaho, Iowa, even, you know, like that area, there's not a lot of tollways out there. So you might not know quite what I'm talking about, but it's, you know, just little rest areas, a couple of gas stations, super clean because they're monitored 24/7, fast 24/7, and they're, you know, you pay a pretty penny going across Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, you know, I think it costs like, if you use tollway, I think it costs like $10 to go through Ohio on its own. It might even be $20 now. I don't recall. That's kind of how they get you to, is they get you on the easy pass, and then you don't really know how much you're spending to get across the state, which makes it easier for them to raise and lower prices on you. Well, lower, haha. That'll never happen. It makes it easier for them to raise prices on you so that and you don't even notice. But it is nice to take the tollway because it is A, for me, the direct route, and B, it is nice to have clean faculties the whole way through. So, and the fact that they're monitored 24/7 and pretty straight shot. So, you know, she's good. A little good co-pilot. Get there, fairly uneventful trip. Get to the hotel. Arrive at the hotel, and the third-party site that I guess I won't name, unless someone really asks for it, explains to me that, hey, we overbooked. We were staying at a extended stay, and they overbooked by 60 people. So 60 rooms overbooked at an extended stay. So it's 11 o'clock at night. She's falling asleep in the back. You know, there's a, for every parent out there, you know, there's a point where, like, if she falls asleep for like 20 minutes and then you wake her back up, she might not go back to sleep. And then you are stuck with a toddler who is inconsolable for hours. And you are going to be the only source of, oh, here's all the bolts I needed. Well, too late now. Bolts. Should check the ashtray, apparently. So I'm like, okay, I just need to keep her up. I call the booking site. They, you know, offer me more than double my money back, or if I really want, they can rebook me somewhere. So knowing that it's a holiday weekend and they are probably booked most places, I go, you know what? We're gonna go ahead and we're gonna let you rebook us. So it takes about an hour for them to rebook us, but we end up staying in a Courtyard by Marriott, for like for the same price, and they end up the lady behind the counter was showing me that they actually ended up spending around, I think, $500 for the first night at least, for us to stay there. I don't know what the reservation fee was for the rest of the time, but basically because they effed up, we got a nice hotel at last minute, and they ended up paying for it. So that was fun. Just playing with the Sierra's gear shift. So the rest of the trip was fairly uneventful when it came to dealing with a toddler. Mostly just family trip, dealing with family. Did of course get sick on the trip, which always happens to me, it seems. But then the way back, Ohio on the turnpike was super bumpy, super shitty roads, and tire debris everywhere. So I don't know what caused my tire to blow out. It could have been the bad roads, it could have been the bad debris on the roads, but I ended up having a blowout. Single lane road, you know, because they do this thing where they split and you're like half of the oncoming lanes, like there's three lanes going eastbound, three lanes going westbound. So we're gonna make it two lanes going westbound, but we're gonna take away one lane going eastbound, and kind of cut the traffic over from the westbound to that eastbound lane and just put up a giant Jersey wall, and you're basically driving half on the median and half on that other lane. So that was a fun experience, and what ended up, thank God, the way the tire blew out was it blew out as I approached one of those crossover sections. So I actually ended up getting yelled at by a highway worker because she thought I was trying to cross over and back to the other side of traffic because that other side of traffic was all backed up. I'm like, no, I'm just having a breakdown. I get, so she's like, oh, okay. And again, funny, to me at least, she went like, well, are you going to need a tow truck? And if you have AAA, I think the way she started the conversation was like, I'm sorry for yelling at you. Hey, if you get AAA, you know, my tow truck's right here, not her tow truck, but like, it's a tow truck right here, and this is the only company that does it, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you know, I have a spare tire, and it's in the back of my car. Oh, yeah, but are you going to do it? Like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Like, how else do I fix the car? Like, I don't know if that's just like, I'm 30, and, well, just turned 32, but I look young. So let's assume she thought I was 30, maybe 35 at the most. I guess she just assumed that people don't change their own tires anymore. So got out, changed the tire, which was fun. So then I had been averaging the tollway speed limit is 70 miles per hour from basically the Indiana border to the Pennsylvania border. So most of two states, basically three states, which is more than half the trip. And then it picks up back in Maryland. So it's like a little section of Pennsylvania. It's like a 55 mile per hour speed limit that it picks back up to 70. Anyway, I had been averaging speed. Like I hit the toll road, turn on the cruise control, hit average speed. Average speed while moving was 80 miles per hour. So blew out the tire, and now the Fiesta has a full-size disc similar spare. So it wants you to limit it to 50 miles per hour to avoid mechanical damage. So, and actually I had to fill up that tire, so I had to limp that tire like 20 miles to a rest stop, fill it up to the right temperature. I was calling on my wife was helping me trying to find a tire shop on the way home to put on the proper tire onto the rim. Nowhere had the weird rim size for the Fiesta ST that was open at that time of day. So I ended up looking at basically 350 miles home. It almost happened exactly at the halfway point. And it was an absolute disaster. So I ended up, you know, for 350 miles, my moving speed, so when the car's on and moving, the average speed was 80, dropped it all the way down to 60 miles per hour because I couldn't go over 50. So it was awful. You know, I love the Fiesta. I don't want to risk any mechanical damage to it. So I'll limp it home. But it basically added 3 hours to the trip. So should have gotten in at like 10 p.m., which would have been a late day for her, but not too bad. Ended up being 1 a.m., which was awful. So, but again, like, she's got her speech difficulties, but the tire blew out, and Daddy was on the side of the road, and she looked up and went, car's broken. I went, yep, it most certainly is. So she's got that down. Thank God. She's going to have to use that one a lot in her life. Oh, Dad, the car's broken, huh? I'm like, yeah, unfortunately. Like, I'm your dad, and this is the life that's been foisted upon you. But yeah, it wasn't too bad traveling with a toddler. And, you know, the reason it ended up being a trip home and not the women's rally was a couple of reasons. You know, I said in an earlier episode, which may have been kind of shitty to listen to, you know, life being what life is between the day job and the wife doing her MP school, my daughter and what she needs, budget being what the budget is, and everything kind of falling in line. It ended up being the wife needed to do 3 clinical sessions for 2 weeks to catch up for stuff where her, like, I guess you call it preceptor, was unavailable earlier weeks in the semester. The guys I was going to do the Lemons Rally with were having issues getting off time to come out and do the job or do the rally with me. And it just became a, like, the most sensible thing to do is to take the little one, get the little one out of the wife's hair for a week. She can sit down and crack down on what she needs to do, get extra sessions in, you know, from 2 a week to 3 a week for 2 weeks, you know. So the timing worked out where she'd have a whole week where she wouldn't have to deal with it. And she could just concentrate on what she needed to concentrate on. I could, you know, go home, eat great pizza. I could have, you know, fun with friends, fun with family, and it was good. So it all ended up working out in the end for that. So, you know, it's just a matter of making it work for you and kind of having to fit this whole thing into what I deal with on a day-to-day. And, you know, this will never be, until this pays the bills, the priority, unfortunately, doing the podcast, doing the video production, doing all that stuff. But it is a fantastic, you know, hobby. And like I said, we will get to a point, hopefully soon-ish, where we can make money doing this. I just have to figure out a way to do that in a way that works with what I do, my lifestyle and all that. So that might be this month, that might be next year, that might be 5 years from now, who knows? It just will happen when it happens. And like a lot of the reason why I don't, you know, do advertising and do all that stuff is because of the extra onus of, you know, you have to make sure you say the right thing. You have to do the right action. You know, you're not allowed to say too much extra stuff. You can't say too little stuff. Otherwise, you got to do, you know, another free ad for them. Or if you don't do that, then you got to do, you know, you're not going to get paid. Or, you know, and sometimes it's hard to get money from advertisers to, you know, just because their business is not to pay you. So, you know, they don't really have a good money stream to do, or a good external system or internal system to do that. So that's just kind of the problem. So when it comes to all that, that's why, you know, you haven't heard many advertisers on the show, except for stuff that, like, I really believe in. And even, like, that stuff, a lot of times I will not let them pay me, which doesn't make a lot of sense, or I'll work out some other thing to do along with them. So, you know, just because it's, I'm weird. I guess that's the best way to put it. And that's kind of my mentality with it. So until, you know, this gets big enough and, you know, popular enough where I can sit down and have this pay the bills, I'm not going to, you know, really push for advertisers until that becomes enough option for them to pay all the bills. So as we build up to that point, you know, again, because it's just such a, there's a great Kibbe and Finnegan show about it, where they kind of talk briefly about the thing. So it's basically like getting money from advertisers is sometimes hard. Say the wrong thing, you owe them a free advertiser. You know, Patreon might just be the way to go. It may or may not. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll get the show to be what I want it to be, what you all want it to be. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's a lot of bees. You know what a bee? But yeah, until we get to that point, we'll figure it out. So anyway, totally lost my train of thought. It's hopefully we'll be back. Good episodes, good conversation, good guests. We're going to be pushing a lot of YouTube stuff coming up here soon. So if you like following the Fiero Project, you know, make sure you tell a friend and we can all get together and have a laugh at me being an idiot while I'm building this thing. Yeah. And you know, just everyone, thanks so much for listening, because it was a good week for me. You know, it was basically a week off. I'm trying to pay back by doing a lot of episodes this week. So some might have shitty audio. I apologize for that. If they do, don't listen. If you like what you hear, tell a friend, tell a loved one, tell a coworker, tell whoever you think may get some enjoyment out of this show. And again, thanks so much for listening, and, you know, have a good night, have a good evening, whatever time it is there. Thank you so much for listening. Please be safe out there.